Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A portion of God's word for our consideration this morning is found in our Gospel, Luke chapter 12. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Turn-of-the-century author Ambrose Bierce said, "Money is the chief god of America's leading religion." You think he was right? Others would argue that the driving force of our country is not freedom, but rather greed. Are they right? When someone asks you about your self-worth, are they concerned about your self-esteem and your contribution to society? Or are they asking you how much money you're worth? Wouldn't you agree that, humanly speaking, our primary pursuits are, one, security, and two, pleasure? And wouldn't you also agree that what most people believe fulfills both of those pursuits is lots of money? In our lesson for today from Luke chapter 12, believe it or not, we're not going to talk about money. Money is part of what's going on here, but that's not what Jesus is concerned about. Jesus is concerned about the meaning of life. He's concerned about the heart and how we view this life, because it impacts directly the life to come. This isn't a stewardship issue. This isn't a money issue. This is a heart issue. This is a trust issue. And just like we want to invest our time and our talents wisely, today we ask the Holy Spirit to help us to invest our heart and our trust wisely. We ask Him today to help us to invest wisely in true riches. As we find Jesus today, we find Him surrounded by a crowd of many thousands. During this entire discourse here in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is addressing the people's fears. He's addressing their anxiety and their security. Right before our lesson in chapter 12, Jesus spoke some comforting words to the crowd, reminding them that God loves them and how important they are in God's eyes. And Jesus will go on in the verses following our lesson this morning to remind them again about how important they are and not to worry, because God will provide for them. But sandwiched right in between those two great sections of comfort are some words of warning. It's a very stark and powerful words. Someone from the crowd said to Him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" Then He said to them, "Watch out and be on guard against all greed, because a man's life is not measured by how many possessions he has." It wasn't uncommon for people to address a respected rabbi like Jesus to settle a dispute concerning the law. The rabbis were supposed to be experts in the law. But Jesus saw that there was a greater problem looming here than a divided inheritance. Jesus saw a heart issue. He saw a heart that was filled with greed, as really every single human heart is. And so that's the problem He's going to address. So what is greed? The Greek word used for greed comes from the word for more. So really, greed has the idea, the sense of someone saying more, more, more. This man who addressed Jesus wanted more, more, more. The question is why? Why is it that he wanted more, more, more? Why is it that we always seem to want more and more and more? That's the question that Jesus wants us to answer as He tells His parable. The land of a certain rich man produced very well. He was thinking to himself, what will I do? Because I do not have anywhere to store my crops. He said, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and goods. And I will tell my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. What's the problem here? Doesn't this all sound very reasonable? Doesn't it sound actually rather idyllic? Isn't that what many of us are doing right now? Working hard, saving up for retirement, so we can live out those golden years? Don't we in some way wish that we could be just like this man? Haven't we sung in our hearts or in our minds like Tevye from Fiddler on the Roof, if I were a rich man? Wouldn't we agree with Tevye, who when told that money was the world's curse, said, may the Lord smite me with it and may I never recover? The problem here is not that the man is saving for the future. That's a wonderful use of God's gifts. The problem isn't that the man is investing money in his business. Solomon says in the Proverbs, he who gathers money little by little makes it grow. The problem is not with enjoying the pleasures of this life. In fact, we heard in our first lesson, Solomon again, who's called Ecclesiastes, he says, there is nothing better for a man than to eat and to drink and find joy in his work. This too I saw is from God's hand. Well, the problem in this parable is that this man had invested foolishly. All of his security, the solution to his fears and anxiety, in short, all of his trust was placed in his money and in his possessions rather than in God. Exactly the opposite of what Paul tells us in our second lesson when he says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. This man had his heart, his trust set squarely on earthly things, not on things above. He never once perceived that all that he had was a gift from God. And yet notice how Jesus describes it. He says, the land of a certain rich man produced very well. The land produced well. It wasn't the rich man. That rich man would have had nothing without the blessing of God in sending the rain and giving sunshine. Just think about it. How much control do we really have over our own life? Despite the impact that we think that we make, despite the impact that we think the choices that we make have on our life, how much control do we really have? Even what we would consider to be our most intimate possession, our own soul, can be demanded from us at any time. It's only on loan from God. This rich man, he certainly thought he was in control. His trust was in himself and in his wealth. He was thinking to himself, what will I do? Because I do not have anywhere to store my crops. He said, this is what I will do. I will pull down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and goods. And I will tell my soul, soul, you have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Look how self-centered this guy is. After this sermon, go back and count how many I's and my's you find in his words. How does God respond? God said to him, you fool, this night your soul will be demanded from you. Now who will get what you have prepared? That is how it will be for anyone who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. The problem that Jesus is addressing here for his original audience and for us is one of life's greatest questions. Where do I put my trust? Money can help you to get medicine, but not health. Money can help you get soft pillows, but not sound sleep. Money can help you to get material comforts, but not eternal bliss. Money will help you get an electric earphone, but not natural hearing. Attain the supreme wealth, wisdom, and you will have everything. Sounds like somebody who gets it, right? Any idea who spoke those words? The electric earphone should give you a hint. He's not new. Those words were spoken by Benjamin Franklin. And while Franklin believed in good morals, he isn't what we would call a confessional Christian. And yet, even he realized that trust in things, in possessions, in wealth is misplaced. And we've seen it in even more recent history too, right? In the roaring 20s, many Americans became rich as the stock market rose to unprecedented heights. But all of that came to an end on one nightmarish October Monday, 1929, because on that day, the stock market crashed, setting off the Great Depression. And many investment bankers and stockbrokers lost everything they had. The sidewalks of Wall Street were dotted with blood as newly impoverished businessmen jumped out of their windows to their death. Those people jumped for religious reasons. Their God had failed them in the hour of need. They thought that their money would always be with them, it would always protect them, and it would always defend them. And only after it was gone did they realize, much to their despair, that their pursuit of worldly riches was a meaningless endeavor. Their trust was misplaced, like chasing after wind. If your God is yourself, if your trust is placed in your stuff, you too will soon realize that your God will fail you. But there is a God who will not fail us. Our triune God has given us true riches in His Son and in His Word and sacraments. These riches are spiritual riches that do not fade or decay. These are riches that never, ever fail us. God sent His Son Jesus to free us from debt, the debt to our sin, and to make us rich with the blessings of His righteousness. God has made us rich by giving us the water of life in His Word, and by giving us His Son as we eat and drink His true body and blood in the Lord's Supper. God has made us rich by dwelling in our hearts through the Holy Spirit and by strengthening our faith each and every time we come into contact with His Word. We are rich toward God, or rich in God, because that's how He's made us. Because of His promises, because of His gifts in Word and sacrament, we can always depend on our God. Our security is not found in something temporal or temporary. Our trust is placed in the timeless, eternal promises of our Savior. Jesus promises blessings on those who gather around His Word. He promises to be with us as we worship and study. He promises to give us whatever we ask in His name according to His will. And He promises that He has prepared a place for us in heaven. Not a conditional place, but a place guaranteed by His death and resurrection. Put your trust in your Savior. Find your security in His Word. Invest wisely in true riches, and you will achieve the supreme wealth and wisdom that Christ has won for us. Put your trust in your Savior and His Word, and you will have everything. Amen.